You're listening to the MLB At The Plate podcast, presented by National Car Rental. Go national, go like a pro. We're giving you the best content from each postseason edition of MLB At The Plate. Now, here are your hosts, Holden Kushner and J.P. Arencibia.
Welcome to the MLB At The Plate World Series postgame podcast. Alongside J.P. Arencibia, I'm Holden Kushner. Los Angeles Dodgers have a 1-0 series lead on the Houston Astros after a 3-1 victory in Game 1 of the 2017 World Series. Steve Lyons joins us to break down the action of the opening chapter of the Fall Classic. The Dodgers get the victory 3-1 tonight over the Astros. They lead the best of 7-1, game to none. JP, for me, the story is this. Kershaw, 7 innings, 3 hits, a run, 11 Ks. You've got Taylor jumping on the first pitch. You got Turner with a 2-run home run. And 2 hours and 28 minutes. This is the way baseball ought to be. This is a terrific baseball game.
Yeah, it was a phenomenally pitched game. Obviously, I'm so glad for Clayton Kershaw. I mean, he got over the hump. And then he goes out there and just completely quiets any talk of any kind of postseason pitching in the past. Goes out there, 11 Ks, no walks, so dominating the zone. Gives up a homer to Bregman. You know, he's kind of good for one homer a game, I feel like, in the postseason. But a solo shot, which was a stay away from that, you know, those were one of the keys to win, which is a stay away from that big home run, and he did. And Justin Turner comes to the, you know, park again and gets it done. And then Taylor setting the tone, first pitch, going way, way back. You know that got those guys going.
What'd you think about 2 hours and 28 minutes and that pace of game right there? I mean, that was absolutely remarkable. When you get two pitchers dealing like they did, and listen, Keuchel gave up 3 runs in 6 innings. Somebody will look at this box score 20 years from now and go, you know, Keuchel is just a quality start. Keuchel was brilliant tonight. Listen, he made 2 bad pitches the whole game, and actually the first one was 88 down the middle. Taylor jumped on it, and then the Turner pitch was left up high. But both of these guys were just masterful on the mound tonight.
Yeah, no doubt. 228 is the pace of Mark Burley on a consistent basis. So it was something that I used to enjoy as a catcher. Everybody on the defense enjoys it because just the rhythm is going good. Everybody is in the game. And it's especially good when you're winning. So kudos to the Doyers and to both pitchers, actually, because you're right. Keuchel didn't make many mistakes, but the two that he did left the yard. And that's part of facing the best team in baseball, the Los Angeles Doyers. Those guys can hit the ball, and they can hit the ball far. So, again, other than kind of giving me a little bit of a panic attack because I had to make it back to the studio and I wasn't expecting it to be 228, it was a very, very good first game of the World Series.
Well, JP, Kershaw now 6-1 with a 3.39 ERA in his last 10 playoff games. And yes, there will still be people who want to criticize him. That's too bad. It doesn't matter anymore. You know, unless this guy comes out for Game 5 and completely blows it, and I don't imagine how that's possible at this point. He is pitching so well. But after he gives up the home run, of course, social media, oh, this guy's giving up home run after home run. Well, I mean, that's going to happen from time to time. He's given up a home run, though, in 7 straight postseason starts. That's the only thing you can knock him for, because everything else he did tonight was just about perfect.
Yeah, it was, like I said, a very, very well-pitched game. And I'm just happy for him to go out there. Listen, you know he hears the critics. And like I told you, the guy's a pro. He's always going to answer the correct answer, or he's going to answer the question with the correct answer. And but you know, deep down inside, you've seen his competitiveness. You remember when we were on the show that one time, and the opposing pitcher was walking through the field, and you remember how mad he got. So you know, the dude's got fire when he's on the mound. He takes a lot of pride in what he does, and so I'm sure that he took that to the mound with him, and now he's, you know, under his breath, going, "Everybody can eat it."
Well, listen, there's been some great World Series starts. Obviously, Don Larson's will be the greatest of all time unless somebody else goes perfecto. But Kershaw tonight, first pitcher in World Series history with double-digit strikeouts, no walks, and 3 or fewer hits allowed in a game. Double-digit Ks, no walks, 3 or fewer hits, first pitcher in the history of the World Series to do this. I mean, this is absolutely remarkable. How amazing he was tonight. Let's talk about Keuchel here for a second, though. Again, six innings, three runs. I think he actually pitched better in the line, and the line ain't too bad.
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, you give up a couple knocks and you give up three runs. Listen, that's what the home run does. I mean, that's the problem is you can't give up the deep ball. You got to stay away. You know, if you give up 10 hits and they score one run, it's fine. But unfortunately, the biggest thing is, as a pitcher and even as a catcher, as a game caller, I always wanted to stay away from the damage. And the problem with two pitchers and lefties that have to come in and throw that cutter in and throw that fastball in, they're going to get hit sometimes. They have to be able to establish it, but also hitters are knowing that. So Keuchel tried to go cutter in on Justin Turner, and Justin Turner made him pay. I mean, the Chris Taylor thing, I mean, that's a fluke. What that is a bad game plan in the sense of when you go out there, you have to know, hey, this guy might swing, so let's not throw the first pitch just right down the middle. And that's something that's usually talked about before the game because you've seen it more and more, especially nowadays, first pitch of the game, guys are taking hacks. I mean, George Springer swung at the first pitch of the game. So it happens. It's just either hitting it or missing it.
I'm going to tell you a couple positives if I'm the Astros right now. First of all, Davinsky gave you a perfect inning with two Ks. That is great news. Because, again, you know, Hinch was just trying to find somebody in that bullpen to get some outs. Davinsky had the strike zone, he had command, and he got a shutout inning. That is great news. I don't think that can be understated, to tell you the truth, or overstated, to tell you the truth. That, to me, is really big. Bregman, obviously, with the home run. They're not going to have to face Clayton Kershaw again unless there's a game number five. So that's good news, too. Those are two big things I take away. And you can tell me if I'm right or wrong on this, but now it's time for us to throw like a pro. Presented by National Car Rental.
It's time for Throw Like a Pro, presented by National Car Rental. This is where we take a moment to spotlight individuals, key late game situations, or entire bullpens to open up for discussion. Go National, go like a pro.
Let's talk about bullpen. So again, Davinsky, I think it's really important. Tell me if I'm overstating this, but he comes in tonight. Nobody in the back end of that bullpen had been trustworthy in the league championship series, but for Davinsky to come out and throw a shutout inning tonight, I think that's big.
No, I agree. I agree. I think that gives them a little bit of confidence, and not only does it give it a little bit of confidence to the Astros, but also to Davinsky and to the rest of that bullpen that, I mean, hasn't had the sharpness that they want to have throughout the postseason and in the end of the year, but they see one of their guys, one of their, you know, co-partners go out there and shut it down and be able to put up a zero. That just shows them that, hey, man, regardless of what's happened in the past, they at least can still go out there and get it done. So that is a positive. But also it is the difference is when you're pitching from behind or you're pitching with the lead, there's a little bit of different of emotion. So that's the antagonism in me.
Well, no doubt about that. Let's move on to the Dodgers side, though. And for those of you not familiar with Brandon Morrow's story, this is a guy you've known for a while. You used to catch him, is that correct?
Yes, very Morrow. Many times.
Right, so he's a guy that when we were at Dodgers camp in spring training, you said, hey, there's Brandon Morrow. We had him on. You told the story. I think you need to tell the story of why this guy, who was a big-time prospect, had a lot of hype behind him, didn't really pan out to the expectations, but now has finally found a role and you're seeing how good he can be. What took him so long?
Well, you know, when he came up to the big leagues, he was right away. First off, he didn't really spend any time in the minor leagues. He made the team out of spring training and was their closer from day one for the Seattle Mariners. And then he was a guy throwing 100 and, you know, walked a lot of dudes. And then eventually the Mariners tried to make him to a starter, didn't really work. And the Blue Jays picked him up. Well, the Blue Jays picked him up and they made him a starter. And he actually did very, very well as a starter and good enough to get a long-term deal. But he is one of the guys who deals with diabetes. He has type 1 diabetes. He pitches with an insulin pump. And it's always been tough for him to be able to rebound. When you're, you know, one thing I learned is it was much tougher for him to recover from his long starts. And let's say he'd go out there and throw 105 pitches one start. I knew that the next start, it was going to be a tough game for him. And literally, it would be 95-96 one start, and the next start, 89-91. And that was, you know, because of the disease that he lives with. Now he goes to the bullpen. He can gas it up for 1 to 2 innings, and his body handles it better. He recovers better, and that's why you're seeing that he's not getting injured, which is, you know, something that guys with that disability, they tend to break down more and have more injuries. And now he's in a great role, great position, and you know, we've talked to him, you talked to him, he's feeling strong, and obviously with what he's doing on the field, this is the right role for him.
And it's the perfect situation. He's on a winner, and he has a chance to be the setup man on a World Series team. And not only that, I mean, think about the Dodgers. And you go to Morrow, because Chris Taylor is the guy they talk about. Oh, Chris Taylor was not supposed to be an integral part of this team.
Oh, he didn't even make the team.
Cody Bellinger was not supposed to be an integral part of this team. He was supposed to be up for a week, maybe 10 days. Justin Turner was not wanted by the Orioles or the Mets. But how about Brandon Morrow? You know, he's the guy that's not even talked about. Any team could add a Brandon Morrow.
Do you know what's crazy is I was actually talking to my friend who's in the front office for the Cubs. And do you know the only reason why Brandon Morrow got called up?
Why?
Do you know why?
You tell me.
Because he was going to exercise his out. And so he forced the hand of the Dodgers to exercise their out to pick him up and to bring him up to the big leagues. Because my buddy was telling me what stunk was, whatever it was for the Dodgers to realize that everybody else wanted him or was going to pick him up and give him a big league deal, they lost out on him. The Cubs were very, very high on Brandon Morrow, and if he would have gotten to that point where he was opting out of his contract, the Cubs, and I'm sure other teams, but the one I know of, the Cubs were picking him up that night.
Think about that. Wow.
So literally, you have in these minor league deals, you have these options. And so it's, you know, you say, hey, at May 1st, I have an opt out. If I'm not in the big leagues by May 1st, usually you can opt out. And the only way that you can opt out is if you're put on another major league roster. So another team would have to pick you up and put them on their roster. Well, obviously, he had those options. He was about to take his out, and the Dodgers said, no, you're coming up to the big leagues, and that's why Brandon Morrow got called up.
Could have changed a lot of things, that one move right there. By the way, he was selected in the same draft as Clayton Kershaw, 2006. Clayton Kershaw was drafted number 7 in the 2006 draft. Do you know where Brandon Morrow was drafted?
He was top 10, right?
5.
Yeah.
He was drafted 2 spots ahead of Clayton Kershaw.
Yeah.
Tonight, you had the number 5 and 7 picks of the 2006 draft. So before we make this all about Brandon Morrow, but I'm very happy for him too. Kenley Jansen continues a 24-inning scoreless streak for the Dodgers bullpen. They're the best. They're the best. And this is really a historic run that they're on.
Yeah, no, he is unbelievable. But again, it just shows the power of the bullpen and how important it is to have a great bullpen and to have a huge shutdown closer. You have to win in the World Series. Just go back the last few years. Who did not have a dominant closer? You have to have a dominant closer to win a World Series championship. I've not seen anybody go out there with a closer that was shaky and win a World Series. If you think about it, you know, you go back, however far you want to go back, everyone's had a dominant closer.
14 straight cutters to finish this game off from Kenley Jansen. Throwing the same pitch time and time again to finish off a game is just becoming happenstance now. That, my friends, was Throw Like a Pro.
That was Throw Like a Pro, presented by National Car Rental. Go National, go like a pro.
All right, so let's get you out to Dodger Stadium right now. A.J. Hinch, manager of the Astros, his thoughts on the Game 1 loss.
A.J., have you seen Kershaw pitch better than that?
Well, I don't know. I haven't seen him a lot. We don't face him a ton, but that was pretty impressive what he could do. Throwing a ton of fastballs. He landed his breaking ball a little bit better than we've seen in the past, but he's tough, you know, and he showed it tonight by being in attack mode, being in the strike zone early, and got us pretty defensive from the get-go.
Right behind on the right side here. AJ, when you have a guy like Justin Turner who's had the postseason history that he's had, does that impact the way that you approach him in any way?
Well, sure. I mean, you want to be careful with him. You know, I think the walk before that's going to be the, you know, a big at bat as well. And you know, with Turner, you feel like you can get into the at bat a little bit, and he just never concedes. You know he's going to be a tough out. The guy in front of him is a pretty tough out. And, you know, you just got to make pitches. And you know, when the ball at the bat, I didn't think it was gone. You know, the ball carried a little bit. But there's no doubt he's, you know, he's pretty locked in, and especially in big moments.
To right, AJ. Joel.
Hey, Joel.
Hey, AJ. AJ, you probably saw some of Taylor in the AL West. Is this look like a completely different player from the one you saw in Seattle?
Yeah, well, he's matured a ton, and I think his, you know, his bat speed's always been really good, and that's some of the fastest bat speed you're going to see in the big leagues. You know, I don't know how it measures out, but by the eye, it's pretty impressive, and he jump-started him tonight on the first pitch. Obviously, just got a first-pitch fastball to hit. And then, again, another guy who never concedes the at-bat. He's always takes a really good pass at the ball. And he's proved to be even more dangerous than obviously he was as a young player. But watching him mature is pretty obvious.
I'll stay right there. Andrew?
AJ, I know it's Kershaw tonight, but why do you think you guys, you know, in the ALCS and now tonight on the road, you haven't hit as well?
Well, I don't think it has anything to do with the ALCS. That's a completely different pitching staff. I mean, tonight's about Kershaw and really the span of a couple at-bats, you know, where they had two big swings, we had one. They had a walk right before one of their big swings. It's 3-1, we get to game two. I mean, it's no more complicated than that. So it's a tough, you know, it's a tough league when you got to run up against Kershaw, but it's going to be a tough league tomorrow when you got to run into Verlander. So there's, you know, Keuchel was really good tonight. He was just a pitch or two less than Kershaw. He wasn't maybe as fancy with the punch-outs, but... take nothing away from these guys. This is a well-pitched game on both sides.
Left side in the middle, Allison.
You obviously want to split when you leave here. How important is it that Verlander keep doing what he's been doing?
Yeah, no, I mean, obviously, every game, you know, I kind of anticipated the whole must-win question, which is, you didn't say it, but I did. But every game is sort of must-win. Obviously, you want to get out of this game. Now, I wanted to get out of here with a sweep, and now that's not going to happen. So we come back tomorrow. We get prepared to face Hill. Verlander's, you know, one of our best, if not our best, the last couple months as he's been an Astro. So we'll certainly ride him out. But hopefully we can do that tomorrow.
Take a couple last ones in the second row here.
AJ, considering what Verlander did in the ALCS, how much confidence does he give your team? And what are you expecting tomorrow from him?
Well, we think we can win every single game he pitches. And I don't know if there's a better compliment for a starting pitcher than when we wake up tomorrow morning, we're going to get breakfast, and we're going to get over here pretty early. And we have a very good chance to win because Justin Verlander's on the mound. What do I expect from him? I mean, I'm not going to put limitations on him. I've run him up to 130 pitches or 125 pitches. So National League rules may be a little bit different, but I expect his best. And that's what he's delivered since the day he became an Astro.
And to your last question here.
AJ, George has been one of your guys' best players all season. Yep. You know, but the 0-for-4, the strikeouts, he's obviously going against Kershaw. But do you consider it all moving him down?
He'll be leading off. He had a tough night at work, and a lot of our guys did. And I know George has struggled, but if he hits the first pitch tomorrow into the gap or hit a single or hits a ball out of the ballpark, you'd be amazed at how good he feels.
All right, so a couple things there, JP. And again, that was AJ Hinch, the manager of the Astros, as MLB at the plate. Holden Kushner, JP Aaron, CBA. I wouldn't give any thought to moving Springer down. I don't know why you'd even think about doing that. And the second thing is, you know, I thought they had a win tonight to win this series. That being said, if you want to look at the positive side, you got your best horse going out there. He might be the best pitcher in a playoff so far in Justin Verlander. And the Astros are 6-0 at home in a playoff. So it is possible that they still get this thing going. If you can go home 1-1, you pulled off your end of the bargain, and now you're playing in the friendly confines.
Yeah, no doubt. I think that, first off, the questions about George Springer and if you're moving him or not, listen – Let's be honest. No one's really having a good day against Clayton Kershaw. I mean, it's not, you can't go into that like, oh man, these guys didn't look good. No one looks good against Clayton Kershaw. So you have to hang with them on that one. So I'm not too worried about that. The Astros, they have Verlander, so it looks good for tomorrow. But again, they're facing a lefty who in Hill that's been very, very, very good. So. I just don't feel too strong for any of the games. And even if they go home and they're 6-0 at home, whoop-de-do in the sense of they haven't played the Los Angeles Dodgers. And I'll tell you one thing, the Dodgers ain't scared of going into hostile environments. Like those dudes, that's not their gig. These guys have gone in, they went into Wrigley and handled their business in Wrigley. So I just don't see these guys being better at home against the Dodgers. It worked against other teams, but the Dodgers are just a different machine.
You're listening to the MLB at the Plate podcast, presented by National Car Rental. Go National, go like a pro. And we'll be right back with more after this.
The 11th Hour with Brian Williams. Tomorrow's headlines before they go to print.
I've just been handed some great reporting.
Tomorrow's questions before anyone's asked them.
Could you make an obstruction case?
Tomorrow's conversation tonight.
Who is there to stand up to the boss and speak truth to power?
Not a single person.
The 11th Hour with Brian Williams. More than the day that was, it's the day that will be. Weeknights at 11 Eastern on MSNBC.
And now, time for more of the MLB at the Plate podcast, presented by National Car Rental. Go National, go like a pro. Now, here are your hosts, Holden Kushner and J.P. Arencibia.
Dodgers 3-1, they lead the best of 7, 1-0 over the Astros. Holden Kushner, J.P. Arencibia, MLB at the Plate. Let's get our co-worker Steve Lyons in here with us. Psycho, great to have you on. Buddy, what'd you think? 2 hours and 28 minutes of a masterpiece from Clayton Kershaw. I think the guy can pitch in the playoffs.
Yeah. You know, I tweeted that out earlier. It's like, you know, I don't want to hear anything more about this guy can't pitch in the playoffs. I mean, at the end of the day, he had trouble with St. Louis in the playoffs. Other than that, he's been pretty darn good, and he's the best pitcher in the game. He has been for years and years. I mean, that was a masterpiece tonight, as you mentioned. And I got to tell you, too, Keuchel wasn't too bad either. He gave up a couple long balls. That hurt him a little bit. But when you talk about two guys on the mound that did their job for the most part, I mean, quick game, tons of strikeouts from Kershaw, couple pitches left out over the plate that got put in the seat by two guys on the Dodger offense that have been doing that for a long time. When you talk about Taylor put the first pitch in the world for the World Series into the seats, and then JT doing what he does. He's been doing it for about 4 or 5 years now with the Dodgers. And I love seeing what he's been able to do with his career, because he was a cast-off. He was known as someone who was nothing more than a utility player. He changed his swing. He changed his mechanics. Now he's a superstar.
Psycho, what's up? It's JP. Talk about how huge first pitch Dodgers – Chris Taylor jump ship. Talk about the momentum. What kind of momentum that gets the guys going? How fired up do the boys get in that dugout?
Yeah, JP, you know that. I mean, I was not a guy that hit leadoff very often. I was too big. I wasn't a good hitter, and I swung at too many pitches. So I was usually a number two hitter or a number eight hitter. But today, the way the game has changed, you put a guy in that number one, the leadoff spot, you look at Springer on the other side, he hit 34 home runs from the leadoff spot. You need a guy that goes out there right from the get-go and says, you're going to throw me a first-pitch fastball, I'm going to jump all over it. And that's what Taylor did. And when you think about it from the other side, a lot of pitchers are saying, look, this is the World Series. I just got to kind of settle into this. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to throw a first-pitch fastball. Let's see how that goes. Let's settle in, and then we'll go to work after that. Well, guess what? Taylor didn't let him settle in. He saw that first pitch, jumped all over it, hit it into the seats, home run. Now you know, big momentum on the Dodgers side. The crowd's going crazy. We're already up 1-0 before you've thrown a second pitch.
Yeah, no doubt. And I know you were a lefty, but obviously the pitchers were lefties today. But when you were a hitter, and what I was saying earlier was both of these pitchers throw cutters in on righties, They throw breaking balls coming to you, and they eventually throw a four-seam in there. But as a lefty, talk about if a guy was throwing you cutters in and fastballs in, being able to understand – at one point, you're going to be able to catch one of those balls. You think about it, really, the only damage that was done today was on home runs.
Yeah, and, you know, it's kind of – that's the way the playoffs has been, too. It's like, not a lot of runs scored unless someone's hitting the ball out of the park. And you're right. I mean, if I'm facing a left-handed pitcher and I'm hitting left-handed, which I did, I got to look for something in because I can't handle anything away. I got it. You want to cut the ball away from me, you want to throw me sliders away, you want to throw me breaking balls in the dirt away, I'm going to have big trouble. If you try to think that you're going to sneak a cookie by me on the inside, that's the only way I'm going to hurt you. Now, you may jam in, I might hit a weak ground ball in the second baseman, but you're giving me a much better chance to hit the ball hard if you're going to throw anything on the inner half to me as a left-handed hitter. So that would not be what I would advise anybody to do in that situation.
Is it possible that Kenley Jansen is the best closer in baseball since Mariano?
You know what? He's pretty darn good. And the guy, he's such a great guy. I spent a lot of years with him in my time with the Dodgers when he was kind of developing as a closer. Now he gets a big contract, and he's been worth it. And you're right. I mean, this is a guy when, you know, I mean, he's a former catcher. He caught for the Netherlands in the WBC tournament a number of years ago. And then I think it was Arizona that decided, I'm going to turn him into a pitcher. Then he got traded to the Dodgers, and the Dodgers said, all right, he's going to be a pitcher. He's not only going to be a pitcher, but he's going to be our closer. And when he first was a pitcher for the Dodgers, he was like a 98 to 100 guy and threw all fastballs. And then all of a sudden, 2 years later, he started throwing this tough fastball. And it was the funniest thing. I did this one interview with him one time, and I said, look, Stanley, tell us what you're going to do when you face an opposing hitter. He said, well, I'm gonna throw my fastball. And then if that doesn't work, I'm going to throw my fastball. And then after that, if that doesn't work, I'm still going to throw my fastball. And we all know he cuts it a little bit. So, you know, as you talked about, it's a pretty good correlation from Kenley to Mariano, because there's not been another guy that's been close to throwing basically a one-pitch pitcher. I know he has other pitches, but he rarely uses them. He's a cup fastball guy, and that's what he's going to live and die with.
Yep, and it's working very well for him. Psycho, thanks so much for the time, buddy. You take care of yourself.
All right, you guys, I'm gonna go jump into the pool in Hawaii now.
You go have I'm jealous. I am.
That
I can
sounds
admit
tough.
It. Steve Lyons joined us. He's in Hawaii watching a World Series where it's like that game started at like noon and it got done at 2:30, I think. Anyways, let's talk Kenley here for another moment, because you brought up the comparisons before, but all those cutters, and you know what's coming, and they just can't do anything about it. And the Astros aren't thinking this way, but I think you and I can look at it and say, it's really an 8-inning game, and sometimes it could even be a 7-inning game if Dave Roberts wants it to be.
Well, and sometimes it could be a 6-inning game, because then you got Brandon Morrow coming in throwing 100 as a setup guy. So, I mean, let's be honest. These guys got too much firepower. As the youngins are saying now, they got too much sauce in that bullpen. These dudes are insane. And what Psycho was talking about, and what makes Kenley Jansen even more special, is think about it. All he just lives on a cutter away on righties, cutter away on righties, cutter away on righties. Well, what is a right-handed hitter going to do with a cutter away? Nothing. He's going to flare it in the right field. You can't drive a cutter away, and especially a cutter like his. And then if you're a lefty, have fun trying to hit a cutter that just the ball that literally, and for people that don't understand what a cutter feels like, it feels like a ball that just continues to come and ride in on your hands. It just, you're trying to swing and you're trying to get your hands out of the way of this cutter, and it just continues chasing you in. So righties can't hit them because the ball's moving away, and lefties can't hit them because the ball's coming in at a rate that you can't really get your hands to. So it's the dudes for one pitch. That's why Mariano was so good for a long time. It's a tough, tough pitch. If you can perfect that, it's a tough pitch to be able to have success against.
All right, JP, let's go to the three-headed monster here. We got best day ever, home run tracker, and statistically speaking.
Best day ever, presented by National Car Rental. Go National, go like a pro.
Well, we each got to pick our pitcher, and we'll do the same one, pitcher and hitter. The best day ever's got to be, first of all, Clayton Kershaw, right? Is there any other way to go?
Yeah, I mean, no, unless you give it to the whole pitching staff of the Dodgers.
Yeah, we'll go Kershaw. 7 innings, 3 hits, a run, no walks, 11 strikeouts, made one mistake. Yeah, he gave up a home run to Bregman early on, and that was it. So first pitcher in World Series history with double-digit strikeouts to go along with no walks and 3 or fewer hits. Where do you want to go with best day at the plate? I'm going Taylor. Turner?
Yeah, I'm going Taylor. I'm going Taylor just for the fact that, one, he scored two runs, so he was two-thirds of the offense in the sense. And by him hitting that first pitch out of the park, and now you're up 1-0 and he's only thrown one pitch, everybody takes a breath. You gotta lead. I mean, it just sets the tone in a insane way when you hit a first pitch out of the ballpark for a home run. So I give it to Chris Taylor.
No doubt. That crowd was into it. They were standing for a few innings as well, and the Dodgers did not trail all game. They were tied a couple times, but that was it. All right, let's move on and talk about those home runs.
MLB at the plate, home run tracker.
Three of them, and Taylor's was destroyed. 447 feet, 107 exit velo. That ball was crushed. Bregman's home run went 399, 101 off the bat, and Justin Turner's two-run blast, 371 feet. Let's look deeper into the numbers.
Statistically speaking.
You know, I didn't know this. There's been four players hit a leadoff home run in Game 1 of the World Series, JP. Chris Taylor is the fourth. The first one was Don Buford back in 1969. That was the Orioles-Mets series. Then Dustin Pedroia in 2007. Of the Red Sox, and Alcides Escobar of the Royals in 2015. How about that? Fourth Game 1 leadoff hitter in the history of the World Series, and it's shocking that the first one never happened until 1969. World Series home runs as a third baseman in Dodger history. Ron Say has three. Justin Turner, Jackie Robinson, and Billy Cox each have one. Dodgers 7-1 in the playoffs, Yankees in 99, and the 05 White Sox, only wildcard era teams to win World Series with less than two losses. And you got Bregman, home run for the Astros. Kershaw's allowed seven home runs this playoffs, tied for the most in one postseason. Speaking of home runs, Chris Taylor with one of them. He was at the podium moments ago.
The Dodger approach this year, correct me if I'm wrong, but Dodger approach has sort of been to let pitchers throw pitches, and you haven't had a ton of at-bats against Keuchel and not a lot of success. What made you think about going up there and swinging at the first pitch?
You know, we knew he liked to get ahead early, you know. He does a really good job of picking at the corners and throws a lot of chase pitches, but, you know, I just wanted to go up there and be aggressive and, you know, try to jump on that first pitch strike.
And Hunter, on your right.
Hey, how much do you think your foul ball in the third at bat changed how he pitched to you?
I don't know. I hadn't even thought about it. You know, I was just, my approach against him was just to get him in the air. You know, it was a good pitch. You know, I think it was in on the black, and it's tough to do anything with that pitch. I got the barrel to it, but just pulled it foul.
Other questions back here? Olivia, we'll get you the microphone. One sec.
Chris, going into your first at-bat, how confident were you? I mean, did you feel like you were on the verge of something special, as you showed?
I didn't overthink it. You know, I was just going up there trying to get the barrel to the ball, thinking be aggressive, and be ready to hit the first one.
To your right, Chris, Kevin.
Chris, did you think that... When you were in Seattle and then you moved over here, did you ever think this day would come and you'd hit a first-pitch home run in a World Series game?
No, I never could have predicted this. You know, the goal coming into this year was to hit for more power and get the ball in the air. But, you know, I didn't think it would be this drastic of an improvement.
To your left, Chris, halfway back. Tyler?
Chris, what have you learned from being around Justin Turner? What impresses you about the way he does what he does?
Just the way he goes about his business every day. You know, he's so disciplined in the zone, and he sticks to his plan every at-bat. You know, and probably the most impressive thing about him is how good he is in the big situation. He always seems to come through when we need him most.
All right, so that's Chris Taylor as the Dodgers win Game 1 3-1. Kershaw picks up the victory. And the Astros, JP, real quick, they're going to try and regroup with Justin Verlander on the hill tomorrow. He'll go up against Rich Hill. And, you know, if you're the Astros, and I know that Keuchel got Game 1, but I don't think anybody can make the Astros feel more confident on the mound than what Justin Verlander's been doing lately.
Yeah, no doubt. That's why Hinch, he said, hey, we all knew coming to the yard today that we were facing Clayton Kershaw. Well, they know that they're coming to the yard tomorrow facing Justin Verlander.
That's a great point, man. All right, you take care. I know you got a flight coming up here. Tomorrow, we will be live with our pregame show at 7 o'clock Eastern time, 7 o'clock Eastern, leading up to Game 2, which you can listen to on TuneIn Premium. For Dustin and Ryan back in the Los Angeles studio, and of course, J.P. Aaron Sevilla alongside me, good night as Game 1 is in the books. Clayton Kershaw, 7 innings, 3 hits, a run, 11 Ks, picking up the Game 1 win in the 2017 World Series. I'm Holden Kushner. This has been the MLB at the Plate World Series postgame show.
Thank you for listening to the MLB at the Plate podcast, presented by National Car Rental. Go national, go like a pro. Catch us every weeknight on TuneIn, where we take you around Major League Baseball with live listenings, analysis, player interviews, and much more. Plus, be sure to check out our other great content on TuneIn, featuring the very best in sports, music, news, and talk. On TuneIn, get caught up in the moment with more than 100,000 music stations and 5 million podcasts from around the world. Exclusive sports content, including live MLB, NFL, NBA, and NHL games and 24/7 news coverage from CNN, MSNBC, and Fox News Radio. Tune in, your everything audio app.